Ben, how are you?
Zach, I'm doing great, man. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, and I appreciate your time. If I'm a Vikings fan today, I know you can't be shocked by this news because it's been speculated for a while, but I'm annoyed by it. How is the Minnesota Viking fan reacting today when it looks like we're finally going to get an outcome on this whole Dalvin Cook situation?
You know, I think annoyed might be the right word. Because I think that people do understand. I think the fans, they get it. I think they understand why he got released. I mean, it's not because they don't like him. It's not because they didn't think that he was valuable. It's just like, look, it's a contract thing. When Kwesi, the GM for the Vikings, took over this job, I mean, we were not in a great cap situation. Tough decisions had to be made. A number of veterans got let go this offseason. And he's just another one of the beloved Vikings that is going to get released and not be on the team for this next season. So I think annoyed is the right word, but I think that there is a fair amount of understanding. You know, I think it is bizarre when you look on social media where the fingers are being pointed. A lot of people are saying, like, oh, Kwesi doesn't know what he's doing. He's in over his head. And other people are saying, no. You know, like, Rick Spielman had a lot to do with this. You know, Kwesi walked into a situation that's very tough, and tough decisions have to be made. And, you know, I credit Kwesi for making some tough decisions. And that's what you have to do as a leader, is you got to maybe keep your emotions in check. Even though he's a great player and a great person, you just can't afford him.
What does saving the money, though, do for them this year, this late in the game, with, you know, pretty much a lot of the big name trades already being done, and then also free agency for the most part being over?
Well, something like, you know, if they could have traded him, which, you know, unless something happens in the next couple hours, is not going to happen.
And at that point, like, what's a 6-round pick? Like, seriously.
Yeah, but there is a cap savings, you know, that is decently significant. So if it's a post-June 1 trade, it's $11 million savings. If it's a post-June 1 release, it's $9 million. So if they could trade him, and it doesn't matter, like, trade him for a 7th rounder and a cup of coffee. It doesn't matter.
At this rate, sure.
You just trade him with the designation that it's a trade, and you gain $2 million versus releasing him. So there is a benefit to finding a trade partner. It just sounds like, I doubt a deal is going to get done. They've already told his camp that they're going to release him tomorrow. So there is a $9 million cap savings that will eventually go to Justin Jefferson's new contract, which I imagine will happen at some point in time before the season starts.
Oh, you think that deal's going to get done for Justin Jefferson before the season starts? Because we were actually just talking about this right before you brought it on. And I just said, I know they probably don't have much to do with one another, but if I'm a Viking fan, I hear that Dalvin Cook's no longer going to be here. I need Justin Jefferson locked up and getting a long-term deal done before the start of the season.
Yeah, I think that makes the most sense. I think it sounds like that's kind of where it's trending, that you know, something will get done before the season. Now, he has not been at OTAs. I imagine he's going to be at minicamp. I don't think that it's necessarily a true peacock move where he's just like, all right, you know, let's play a game of chicken and let's see who flinches. I think that, you know, he probably wasn't going to show up for OTAs anyway. And he's a, you know, Justin's like the greatest blend of everything. Like, he gets it. He knows how to be a showman. He knows how to be a performer. But he also is, you know, I think, quickly understanding his value within the league and not just the Minnesota Vikings. So I think there is a leverage play here, not showing up for OTAs, but he's being quiet about it. You know, his camp is being quiet. It's not like he's not out there, you know, doing weird things on social media to make it seem like he's unhappy or he's disgruntled. He's just like, hey, I can play this business game too. I don't have to be there. I'm not going to be there. He'll most likely show up for training or for mini camp here next week. And, you know, hopefully, you know, I think for all parties included, including the fans, I would like to see Justin get wrapped up and, you know, become one of the highest paid players in the league, because he deserves it. And I think he's going to have a great value in return. So get the deal done and move on.
And I love Justin Jefferson and agree with everything that you just said, but you never want to put him in a spot where he starts to want out. And who knows what the future of this team's going to look like, because I don't even know if the quarterback's going to be there, Ben Lieber, coming up a year from now. And that's the last thing you want, is not having a quarterback and then a wide receiver goes, yeah, I'll go elsewhere to go get my money.
Well, that's just it. You know, I think Devontae Adams kind of felt the same way. You know, I think he knew the writing on the wall. You know, he and Aaron are super close, and you got to think that his departure has a lot to do with he didn't have a lot of confidence in knowing that Rodgers is going to stick with Green Bay, and you know, here we are right now, and he's a Jet. So I don't think that you want to go down the road of of like flirting with this idea that, oh, well, you know, if we don't have a guy that it can throw him the ball, then, you know, what am I going to do here? I think you just lock him up right now and you take away any sort of negative thoughts or any sort of question marks. But, you know, that whole thing with Kirk it's real. I mean, he's admitted it. He's like, look, this is not the first time I've been on a 1-year prove it deal. And he's like, I understand where the Vikings are coming from. I got to go out there and prove that I'm worth another extension, and he wants to be here. He's saying all the right things, and I think he's going to have an incredible season and really put the Vikings in a tough situation, because I think he's really going to flourish once again with a better defense under Brian Flores. And all of a sudden, you're like, well, what do you do? You know, you've got a guy that's been super durable that, you know, can really make this offense go. He's got a lot of weapons. Do you just kind of blow up the quarterback position, even though you've got these high-valued receivers and players?
Ben Lieber, what do you think that defense will look like this year? Because we've talked about this before. You don't sugarcoat it. The defense the last few years has just not been up to par.
No, they've sucked. I mean, not been up to par is like being really nice, Zach. I mean, they've been god-awful. I mean, it's been frustrating. Like every game you think, like, okay, this is the game where I think if they turn it around and they play better defense, it's going to be, better run defense specifically, it's going to be better. And the same thing just happens over and over again. And they play this flat-footed, stagnant defense that, you know, basically you just telegraphed where all the holes are going to be. You telegraphed where the coverages were going to be. And you telegraphed basically every blitz that was coming. So the change needed to be made, and now we're going the complete opposite direction. And Flores is bringing an attacking, on-your-toes sort of defense. It's going to be a lot of guys at the line of scrimmage. It's going to create a lot of chaos. But by doing that, just by creating chaos and being deceptive, does that mean, you know, you're going to be good? I mean, look at the Lions from last year. It took a while for Aaron Glenn to figure it out. You know, he is very much a blitz-heavy, you know, same sort of philosophy. We're going to bring a lot of chaos. We're going to make the offense really think. And their defense was terrible for two-thirds of the season before he started to figure out, like, okay, maybe I shouldn't blitz as much. Maybe I shouldn't live and die by this blitz and leave our secondary to hang out to dry. So just because it's attacking style doesn't mean it's going to be better. But I do think the reputation that he brings, it's going to be better. You know, it's maybe not top 10, but it'll be, you know, better than 31st in the league last year.
What message does this send to the locker room today with Dalvin Cook? Because before you came on, Ben Lieber, we were discussing, you look at the NFC, you feel really good about Philadelphia. If the 49ers could ever figure out their quarterback, even if they don't, they're always in the NFC championship game, it feels like. But other than that, this is right there for the taking. And I don't think Minnesota's a great team on paper, but they're a good team. And getting rid of Dalvin Cook, I think it makes them worse today.
You know, it's interesting because, yeah, you lose a home run hitter. I mean, you look at a couple games last year, and Dalvin absolutely was the X factor late in the game. But, you know, if you're a statistics guy, you're going to lean on the whole, like, you know, net yards on first down, and, you know, he's one of the worst when it comes to kind of feast or famine. It's either he was zero or negative yards or a home run hit. And you watch the games, and that kind of does marry up, you know, versus what Alexander Mattison can do. Now, we don't know what he can do when he's toting the ball and being the bell cow guy. But he does give you more positive yards on a more consistent basis. And with the signing of Josh Oliver, the best blocking tight end in the league in the offseason, the re-signing of C.J. Ham, which a lot of people were surprised by, they're like, wow, we didn't think KOC's offense was going to value this fullback position as much as he is. And we all felt like the only reason he was on the team last year is just because he was under contract and he's one of our special teams captains. Well, he went out and earned another contract. And so it's telling me that we're going to see more fullback. We're going to see much more 22 personnel. We're going to see a lot more downhill, in-your-face, aggressive-style run game. And that suits a guy like Alexander Mattison. And even if it is 2-3 yards on first down, that's better than it was last year, because Dalvin had a lot of zero gain yards on first down and really handcuffed our passing offense on second and third down.
What do you think the Lions will do this year? Because I feel like if we put a poll question out there, who's going to win the NFC North, the Lions will get the majority of those votes right now, just with the way that people are talking about them.
No, I think that's true. I mean, there's a lot of people around here, a lot of Vikings fans thinking the same thing. And I think that's fine. I mean, you know, it is a nice kind of pat on the back if in the offseason you get a lot of love. But I think that's also a dangerous spot to be in. You know, they got to go out and earn the respect on a consistent basis. So I kind of like the fact that the Lions, rightfully so, are slated to win the NFC North. It puts a target on the back. It puts them in a position that they've never been in for, what, decades? And let's see how they handle it. Let's see if they can handle success. And I like the fact that every week the Vikings will get doubted, because you'll look at the season last year and a lot of people say, look, first-round loss to the Giants, you know, they were the paper tiger. Like they claim they, you know, a lot of people were saying they were through the regular season. So they still have a lot to prove, and I like being in that position.
Ben Lieber, when you look at Green Bay this year, what do you expect Jordan Love here? I know it's not year one, but it's basically year one as him as a starting quarterback in this league.
It's funny that I think the offense is going to be more dynamic. I don't know if it's going to be more productive, but I think as a defender, you're going to have to think about a lot more stuff. You can probably gain an advantage just off of inexperience that, you know, Brian Flores is going to be, you know, chomping at the bit to show him some disguises and roll his safeties around and move his corners up and down and just going to give him a bunch of different looks, and he'll win that battle. But when it comes to defending everything, the running part of it, the scrambling part of it, the ability to create, I think he's going to have a little bit more of an upper hand than what Rodgers has been doing the last few years. Even though Rodgers is, you know, he still ran around quite a bit. He still created quite a bit. I think just Jordan's going to give him a little extra athleticism in that spot, and that's going to be tough to defend.
When we get to the future of Dalvin Cook, Ben Lieber, where do you think he's going to wind up? I know everyone keeps on talking about Miami. You hear a little bit about Denver. Maybe it is with the Jets, with Aaron Rodgers. If you had to take a guess, is it Miami or someone else?
You know, I think his familiarity with George Payton and Denver, I think, kind of puts them on the top. And I got to be honest, I know a lot of players say they want to play close to home. I don't know this for anything. I'm just making an assumption here. I don't know if Dalvin going to Miami is as easy as people, you know, make it sound. Like, oh, he's going to go back home, be close to family and friends and blah, blah, blah. Like, a lot of players don't necessarily want to do that. That is a big-time distraction factor for the player. And, you know, they are sitting on a really good team right now, so he might just be looking at the bigger picture. But I think for maybe comfort, for a GM that really knows him and George Payton, I would actually put Denver on the top of that list.
Mountain Dew Zero Sugar asks, ever wonder what it would be like to live in an alternate universe? Well, friends, welcome to the alternate universe of Mountain Dew Zero Sugar. Because even though it says zero sugar right there on the bottle, when you crack one open and try it, the taste is nothing less than outrageously delicious. Hey, transport yourself to an alternate universe with Mountain Dew Zero Sugar. Zero sugar, all Dew.
Quit your thirst at Quality Mart today, where you can get 220-ounce ice cold Mountain Dews for only $3.50. Mountain Dew and Quality Mart, do the Dew.